It's good to be here and bring you greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ from brothers and sisters in the Lord at Bethel Gospel Chapel in New Liskeard, out in North Bay. I'm sure they would bring greetings too. But it's good to be here and appreciate prayers for me this afternoon. I'm not actually going back home. I'm going down to Hamilton to visit my mother. She's 98 years old and just about to start a month of radiation. And so I appreciate prayers for not only the travel, but for the time with her. She knows the Lord, and I'm praying that it won't be too hard on her. In fact, I said to the Lord, well, you know, a portion in Daniel came to my mind, and I said, Lord, you know, you fix the situation for those three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, that smoke wasn't even a smell on them. And it's an easy thing for you to deal with side effects of severe burn for my mom. And we'll see what the Lord does. We'll just commit her into his care. She knows the Lord, and so who knows, maybe he'll even promote her to glory. But yeah, it's good to be here. I'd like to read a scripture to you. Got the wrong page there. And Psalm 89. Some of these songs that we were singing reminded me of what I would like to share with you this morning and this afternoon. And I'm sure you'll kind of understand what I'm getting at. We'll read the first 8 verses. And then I'll read one or two other scriptures. Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. This is God speaking. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, your seed I will establish forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah, or pause and think about that. And the heavens shall praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints and to be had in reverence of all that are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto you, or to your faithfulness round about you? And read a few verses in the book of Lamentations, further to your right, I guess that is, as you're turning the pages, the book of Lamentations of Jeremiah in chapter 3. In the midst of all of his lamentations, he says these beautiful words, a testimony to the Lord God. Verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. And then glad the sunlight's out now because then over in the book of Revelation chapter 1, One of our brothers read a portion of this scripture, I believe, this morning at the first meeting to remember the Lord. Verse 4, John to the seven churches, which are in Asia, grace unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten from among the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And then just one more passage over in Revelation 19. Scripture speaking of that same one that was spoken of, the Lord Jesus Christ, in Revelation 1. Revelation 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes as a flame of fire, and on his head many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just ask the Lord's blessing. Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for what it speaks concerning yourself and what it speaks concerning the most important personage in all of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we just commit our time to you, Father. You know the needs of each one here, the needs of myself. And we commit our time to you in the Word, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen. God is faithful. Faithfulness of God. And that's a very broad subject. And I know I'll just be scraping the surface today, but that's the testimony of the entire Bible from beginning to ending. God is faithful, and I trust that's also the testimony of your life. If it isn't the testimony of your life, it's because you don't know God, because he is faithful. The Bible is a record of the God who is faithful, and the God who is looking for and longing for people, persons, to respond to him. All that God is and all that he calls for, all that he does, he calls for a response from you and from me. We see this throughout the Bible. The character of God is displayed, is expressed in the Word, either through a prophet or a psalmist or someone writing concerning God, or through an episode, and we see God in his goodness and greatness and in his faithfulness and he's looking and longing for a response from you and from me. From the beginning, from Genesis, all the way through to the last chapter of the Bible. We get into trouble when our attention is directed elsewhere. And we have an enemy, Satan, the God, the Bible calls him the God of this world, who is seeking to detour your mind, divert it away from thinking of God, from thinking of his goodness and his grace and his faithfulness and his kindness, his mercy. And he wants you to think of other things. And that's what happened with our first parents, the first sinners. We've all taken after them. And they disobeyed. They got their attention on something that the enemy of God said, to divert attention away from what God had said and onto something else, to question the character and the word of God himself. And so the Lord God in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve, our first parents, had sinned, he's pursuing the sinner. He's seeking to get attention, and he wants the attention of each person in this room. And so the Lord God came to Adam and called, "Where are you?" Not because he didn't know, but because he was looking for a response from that one who had sinned. He relentlessly pursues a relationship. And in the very last chapter, in the book of Revelation, we find that God is still pursuing, still looking, still longing. We read these words, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that hears say, come. And let him that is thirsty, come. And whoever will, let him or her take the water of life freely." God is seeking relationship. And when our attention is diverted, but that's the God of the Bible. He's seeking a relationship. I always remember my uncle. This is many years ago. My uncle is with the Lord for many years, actually. But he was holding a Bible study on board of one of the Great Lake freighters, going from upper Wisconsin down through Lake Huron. And he was on that ship by the invitation of the captain. And my uncle was holding Bible studies every evening in the galley for those that were interested. They weren't forced. They were just those that were interested. And I always remember my uncle saying to me that, I think it was the cook probably. Anyway, he said to my uncle, "God and I have a deal. He leaves me alone and I leave him alone." And I remember my uncle saying to me, I just looked at that man and said, "Well, that might be the God that you're thinking of, but that's not the God of the Bible." The God of the Bible seeks and pursues because he wants a relationship, and he is faithful in doing that. So the Bible, particularly as we look at the Old Testament and the stories of men and women and the stories of the nation of Israel, it's a testimony to the faithfulness of God and to the response of his people. And he records the responses of people. Abraham, or Abram as he was called initially, responded to God's call and God's promise, haltingly at first with a few hiccups, but he followed God And he believed God, and he believed that God would be faithful to his promise to give him a seed and to give his seed a land. And even though there were hiccups and some stumblings along the way, the climax came in Genesis 22, where the Lord, in testing Abraham's loyalty and faith and reverence for him, said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and offer him up to me as a sacrifice." Well, what do you do in a case like that? But Abraham took his son and went to the mountain that God had spoken to him of, and laid his son on the altar and took the knife, and God called to him and said, "Abraham, don't lay your hand on your son. I know now that you fear me, because you've not withheld that thing which is dearest to you." God would be faithful. Many years later, he would take his own son, whom he loved, and offer him up as a sacrifice for you and for me. Abraham responded, said yes to God's call. And that's what the Lord seeks for you and for me. Joseph, Abraham's probably great-grandson, maybe great-great-grandson. Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt by his brothers, who hated him. And there he was in the land of Egypt, a slave, knowing nobody, not knowing the language, deserted by everyone, all of his family and acquaintances back home in his home country where his father was. But we read these words, God is faithful. The Lord was with Joseph. Twice that's emphasized to us. The Lord was with Joseph. God was faithful to that young man, just 17, 18 years old at the time. And how did Joseph respond to that? He could have responded with a lot of things. And you read the story of Joseph, we won't go through it, but you read that story of Joseph, it is fascinating that at every juncture of Joseph's life, every test and trial that came his way, whether it was a temptation, whether it was being thrown into prison under false accusation, whether it was prosperity, whatever it was, every response that Joseph made was God. God. How can I sin against God? How can I do this wickedness, he said, when tempted by his master's wife, and do this wickedness against God? The Lord who was with him, he responded to that faithfulness of God with faithfulness in response. And that's what God calls for you and for me. And all along the line, Joseph responds with God. And when he finally faces his brothers, having been made under the workings of God, going from a slave and a prisoner in prison to becoming prime minister in Egypt after interpreting the king's dreams and giving the credit to God, his brothers come to Egypt. There's a famine in the land, and Joseph has gathered up all the grain from the good years, the good 7 years, and his brothers come, and they don't recognize him as prime minister. They're not expecting their brother whom they sold into Egypt to be prime minister of Egypt. and they don't recognize him, and he speaks through an interpreter to them, and so on, dressed obviously differently. And he could have said, now's the time for revenge. But when he reveals himself to them finally, he said, don't be afraid. God sent me here before you to preserve your life. God sent me here. Joseph responded to the faithfulness of God. And God, though we often don't understand his ways and his purposes, God was faithful to his character. God is faithful to his promises and his word, and God is faithful to his purposes. For Joseph, for that family, for a nation. You read these words in Psalm 105 concerning Joseph. This is what it says. God working out his purposes. He's going to be faithful to what he wants to do. It says, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He broke, this is God, he broke the whole staff of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph. The purposes of God in working out his plan to bring that family from Canaan into Egypt, and his ongoing work. He sent a man before them. Joseph's brothers probably called him a punk. They threw him in a well and sat down to eat their lunch while he was crying out for them to release him. I could just picture them. Shut up, punk. The scripture says the Lord sent a man before them. And the Lord regards anyone who responds to his faithfulness by being faithful to him as a man, a woman, through whom, in whom, and through whom he can work. We read of the man Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the nation of Israel that left Egypt. The only two who went into the land of promise because they took God at his word. They judged God to be faithful to his word of promise that he would bring them in. The God that had said to Moses in Exodus 6, I am the Lord God. I will redeem my people. I will bring them out of Egypt. I will bring them into the promised land. I will be to them a God, for I am the Lord. God was faithful to that word. Joshua and Caleb were the only two in that whole nation that believed him and said, let's go in. God's given us the land. So when they finally got into the land, Caleb comes to Joshua, the leader. And Caleb is the first one to get his portion of the land. And he rehearses the word of God. You remember the word that the Lord said concerning me 45 years ago. Give me this mountain. I'm 85 years old now. Babu, you're only 3 years ahead of him. I'm 85 years old and I'm as strong now as I was then. Give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. And there was a man who honored God, the faithfulness of God to his word. The Lord's looking for men and women like that who are going to believe and act upon God and his faithfulness. David was a man after God's own heart, but he sinned grievously, didn't he? But when he sinned and was arrested and indicted by the prophet sent from God, David said, yeah, but he said, I have sinned. And immediately He appealed to God's faithfulness to his person and character. Not David's, God's person and character. Psalm 51:1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Men and women who respond, God's faithfulness is clearly seen and adhered to by individuals in the Old Testament, and he's always looking and longing for people to respond to him. Unfortunately, when prosperity and provision come our way, we tend to forget, and we look the other way. It's interesting, the scripture I was telling your dad, Sam, between meetings, the exact scripture that you read earlier this morning in the first meeting, 2 Chronicles 26 and Isaiah 6, I read in the remembrance meeting last week in New Liskeard. I'd been in those same scriptures. And there was a man, King Uzziah, a successful man, one of the most successful kings in all of the kingdom of Judah. And while God helped him, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he lifted up his heart to destruction, and he took upon himself that prerogative, that decision to do something which was not for him to do. And God looks severely upon that. So we're a people who tend to forget. We're a people who tend, when we have prosperity, when things are going well, when the sun is shining, we tend to forget and neglect. And the character, the faithfulness, the word, the promises of God, the commandments of God, the things that he desires of his people tend to get put under a whole bunch of stuff. We've just begun a study in the Minor Prophets on Wednesday evenings, and we've been going through them, not with a fine-tooth comb, but just kind of an overview of the Minor Prophets. I haven't given a lot of time to the Minor Prophets, really. I've kind of stayed away from that portion of the Old Testament, but they're fascinating studies. And in them, you see the faithfulness, the character of God again and again and again. And there in the book of Malachi, we're in Malachi, and the very last book of the Old Testament. And God, through his prophet, begins that book of Malachi by saying, I have loved you. What a way to begin a book. I have loved you, he says to his nation. Those people who have come back out of captivity to Jerusalem. I have loved you. Yet you say, how have you loved us? And that entire book of Malachi, the four chapters, you'll find that question-answer, questioner, statement by God, and a question by a people who had neglected the Lord who loved them, who had turned away from him. It's sad, very, very sad. The last book of the Old Testament. But within that book, you'll always find gems. And once again, the Lord finds persons, people who have responded to him. Then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord listened, and he heard, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. He's looking for a people, for you and for me to respond to him, to his faithfulness, to his goodness, to his loving kindness, to his mercies. Now we come over into the New Testament. And the greatest expression of God's faithfulness is in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son. He is the fullest expression of all that God is. And all that God has done, is doing, and desires to do in your life and mine. Jesus Christ, you look at him and you can see God is faithful. He is faithful to his character. He is faithful to his purposes of redemption, of reconciliation of sinners, of restoration, of relationship. God is faithful to his purpose. He's faithful to his word and to his promises. All the promises of God are yes and amen, the Apostle Paul says, in Christ Jesus. Can't see that clock up there. What time do I go to? Okay. We read in Revelation, Jesus Christ was the faithful witness. All that he was and all that he did, all that he said, all the actions, all his ministry showed forth the Lord God. A full expression of God's faithfulness. In his birth, God was showing himself faithful to the word of his promise. That promise that began back in Genesis 3 after our first parents had sinned. And he said to the serpent, actually it wasn't really a promise, it was a declaration of war officially between God and Satan. And he said to that serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between you, your seed and her seed. It shall bruise, crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Declaring the conflict, the conquest, and what would be the cost of that conquest of this one who was the deliverer. We take it as a promise, and so we ought to, because it was spoken with Adam and Eve, the sinners, who had broken the relationship right there. It was spoken in their hearing. And so we take it as the promise of God, a promised deliverer, one who is going to come. And at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the long-awaited fulfillment to those who were looking for him, an announcement to those who would respond, those humble shepherds, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Sadly, not many were really looking for him. When the Magi, the Gentiles, came 2 years later to seek the King of the Jews who had been born, and they asked in Jerusalem, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Herod, the king on the throne, got a little bit upset. And he asked the scribes, the religious leaders, where the Christ, where the promised deliverer was to be born. And here were the religious leaders who said, well, Bethlehem of Judea, because it's spoken by Micah the prophet. But it was almost like, oh yeah, him. They weren't looking for him. And they didn't go to find him. They didn't say the time has come. But to those who were looking for him, who were responding and anticipating the fulfillment of God to be faithful to his word of promise, to those people, God revealed himself. In his birth, the Lord Jesus displayed the faithfulness of God to his word of promise. In his life and in his ministry, he was the faithful witness. Read these words in Psalm 40, which is a prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have proclaimed righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, you know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness, your steadfast love, and your truth from the great congregation. In his life and in his ministry, the Lord Jesus was the faithful witness to all that God is. But particularly in his death. Because at the cross, all the attributes, all the character of God came together and was fully seen at the cross. His wisdom in working out a plan of salvation, of redemption, of reconciliation of the sinner to himself, that by this sacrifice, provision would be made for the forgiveness of sins. The wisdom in the plan of redemption. His faithfulness to his word of promise. Here was the deliverer, and he would deliver. I had a conversation with a friend just the other day. I met him on the street. Doesn't have a phone. I can't contact him. I was on my way to the hospital, and here's this fellow walking across the street. I stopped the car, and he's not saved. He's unsaved. He doesn't understand the gospel. Fine fellow. But as we talked, he's got some bizarre things going on in his experiences, things flying by and all that sort of thing. And he asked me, he said, does it say anything in the Bible about the burning of the bosom? And he begins to describe this experience that he's had physically driving down the highway. Where do I go with this, Lord? And the Lord brought to my mind Luke 24. Did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and showed us the scripture? And I said, I'd want to read you something. And so I dug out my Bible, and he's leaning into the window of the car, and I begin reading Luke 24, the road to Emmaus, the two on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus, the risen Lord, coming and talking with them and asking them, why are you so sad? Well, don't you know what's happened? No, what things? What's happened? And like, oh, Jesus of Nazareth, we trusted it had been he and was crucified. And I said to this man, I said, that's exactly what people were looking for. They were looking for a deliverer to deliver them from Rome. But God said his name will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And the Lord Jesus explained, went through all the scriptures, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And this man said, he's fascinated by this. And I said, you know, the Jewish people, even today, are looking for a Messiah who's going to deliver them as a nation. He will in a coming day, as they believe on him. But they're looking for him. And then I turned to Isaiah 53, began to explain Isaiah 53. He said, I got to read those two chapters. Luke 24, Isaiah 53. Okay, he had a Bible at home. And so that's the experience that the Lord brings. Faithful to the word of God. The Lord Jesus in his death and in his resurrection was faithful to all of God's purposes, all that God was, all of God's word of promise completed in him. He's looking for a response. from you and from me. The response from you and from you. How are you going to respond to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness? How do you respond to him? You say, ah. No. He wants a response from the heart. He wants a heart open to receive him, to believe him, and to receive him as Savior. Romans chapter 3, where God brings every person in the world into his courtroom, and every person in the world is indicted and condemned before God, slain by God's law, righteousness, and holiness. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin, and every mouth is going to be stopped, and all the world becomes guilty before God in his courtroom. But verse 21, but now the righteousness of God outside of the law, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. The Old Testament spoke of what God was doing in Christ, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's an invitation given to all that you can know and possess the righteousness of God. Forget about your own righteousness. You don't have any. We're all guilty. But the righteousness of God is offered unto all and upon all them that believe. It is sufficient. Sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood that sins would be forgiven, is sufficient for all, but it's only efficient to the one who responds to Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. And so we read those words in Revelation, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father, unto him be glory and dominion. All worship is given to him, believing and receiving him. That's the response that God calls for and is looking for you today to respond. If you've already responded to that, there's still a response he's looking for. You might say, well, I don't have much to give to him. I mean, what do I have to give to him? And I'm always reminded of this beautiful, what do you call these, Facebook profile pages? I don't know. I'm not techie. But anyway, there's one that fascinates me. I see it from time to time. A fellow makes a comment on a Facebook page. And his profile picture is kind of a stick figure thing. And this little stick person is holding up a red heart. And here's Jesus over here. And the stick figure says, it's all I have. And Jesus said, it's all I want. That's all I want. I want your heart. And we can give him our heart today. Own him as our Savior and Lord. We can give him our heart in consecration to him for all that he is and all that he has done, responding to God in his faithfulness. His faithfulness to seek sinners took the Lord Jesus to the cross of Calvary, where he laid down his life for you and for me, and where God laid all of your sins and mine upon him. And he was raised from the dead. He's the first begotten from the dead. and he's Lord, Prince over the kings of the earth. Trust to look a little more at that aspect, because he's faithful, the faithful witness. He was faithful in his work in the past, 2,000 years ago at the cross. Faithful to God, faithful for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the faithful one, the faithful witness, your Son. He could say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. He would lay down his life at the cross. He was faithful to you and the work that you gave him to do. And he was a faithful witness of all that you are. And we thank you that he is no longer dead. He's alive, and he's a living Savior, and he can save anyone today who calls upon him and opens their heart and responds to him. We just commit the word to you, commit each person to you, and give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.